Let us pray. May our hearts open to the radiance within us. May we discover our true selves and enter into the fullness of light in Jesus the Christ. Amen.
Amen.
And he was transfigured before them, and his clothes became dazzling white. This is such a dramatic story. It feels a little out of reach. This story of Jesus on the mountain, transfigured and shining, seems far away, at least from the realm of my ordinary life. Or also the one of the prophet Elijah being swept up into the heavens. Jesus on the mountain, transfigured, opens us up to a whole new reality. But I think when I hear of Jesus in the synagogue or Jesus in the home, Jesus as the teacher, Jesus as the healer, I can almost imagine being there with him. And somehow we are, as readers of the gospel, the living word, we are there. But with this story on the mountaintop, it slips beyond even my best imagination. The prophets are there, Moses and Elijah, and the disciples in a kind of whirlwind. There's God speaking through a cloud, and Jesus shining with all his divinity. My life is a little too ordinary to even grasp this. Jesus shining like a supernova on top of a mountain, the voice of God speaking through a cloud, and everything radiating with fire in some higher dimension of reality. I wonder, though, in the realm of the reasonable and ordinary life, in the midst of something normal or routine or mundane or commonplace, if you've ever been surprised by a moment when you caught a glimpse of something or you felt it, which changed or expanded what you thought you were seeing. I was once training in a hospital as a chaplain, and I was assigned to different parts and different units in a large medical complex. And the patients would share their lives with me and tell me their deepest hopes and fears and ask for prayer. And then one week I was assigned to the ventilation unit. The patients in this wing were all dependent on ventilators to keep them alive and literally breathe for them, which meant they couldn't talk at all. My visits involved creative ways of communicating. One patient, when I stopped at the door and looked in and asked, "Would you like a visit?" would nod. And I would come in and ask him questions with only yes-no answers. And he would nod or shake his head. He also had a board with letters on it to build, by pointing to the letters, he could build words and sentences and communicate with me what he wanted to say besides yes and no. It took a little time and patience, but after a while I learned a lot about him. I thought I knew him pretty well until one day, one little moment, everything I thought I knew about him changed. I understood through his hand movements that he wanted the nurse. So I went and got the nurse, and she came, and he pointed to his throat. She knew what he wanted, and she told me he was saying that he wanted to talk. I didn't even know this was possible in his condition. And she explained, in some rare circumstances, at his request, she can turn off the valve attached to his trachea, which stops the flow of oxygen from the ventilator, which forces him to breathe on his own with his lungs that didn't work well, and at the same time enable him to use his voice. he would only have a few minutes, like 2 minutes, to do this safely before he ran out of air and needed to go back on the ventilator. She explained this all to me, and I was amazed. He was looking at me intently, determination in his eyes. He obviously had something to say. He was decisive. He had decided to speak. Nervously, I watched as the nurse turned the valve off. I knew she knew what she was doing, but I didn't know what was going to happen. He was still staring at me, and we were looking at each other. And I waited in suspense. He took a moment for a few difficult, slow, rattling breaths, and then he found his voice. I had never heard his voice before. This man I thought I knew so well started to speak, and he was literally transfigured before me. His voice was hoarse and weak and soft, and yet deep and resonant and powerful. The words fell out of him in a cascade. For 2 minutes, he spoke of his faith in Christ. It was obvious he had prepared for this moment with me as his witness and what he wanted to say and needed to say. He talked about his need for prayer, his desire to be right with God before the end of his life, his concern and his love for his family. He spoke of his children and how he wanted them to know he was at peace. For once, I was the speechless one in the conversation. After so many conversations with only hand gestures, I felt like Moses listening to God on Mount Sinai, listening to the voice thundering from the heavens. I felt maybe like Peter and James and John on the mountain, watching Jesus light up and a cloud overshadowing them, a voice from the cloud saying, "This is my beloved, listen to him." I listened and watched, enthralled and overcome by the power before me and overwhelmed by this man's radical determination. I still remember every word he said. Then he started to struggle, and he looked at the nurse who turned the valve, releasing the flow of oxygen back into his lungs from the machine so that he could breathe. He rested on his pillow, quiet again and exhausted. I looked at him and I looked around the room, and everything had changed. What had been so ordinary, the hospital furniture, the basic structures of a room with a floor and a ceiling and walls, were now pulsating with new life and fierce hope and radiance. Everything in the room was exactly as it had been before, including the patient. He was in the same position in the bed with the same expression on his face and the same searching look in his eyes. But for me, who was the one waking up, the world had changed radically. I could see him in a whole new light, in all the complexity and beauty and fragility and fierce hope that he expressed. I am certain that he had always been this passionate and radiant, and that the room had always been aglow. I just had not seen it. The fact that I didn't see it at first in that room doesn't mean it wasn't always there, always, all around me. I had to wake up to hear the heavens declare through him the glory of God, through one man, weak and helpless, unable to breathe on his own, and close to the end of his life, in order for me to experience God's voice on the mountain, ringing across the earth, and feel the energy moving through his weakness, the very body of the risen Christ Jesus shining within him, as radiant as anything the disciples saw in the transfiguration. The whole room was changed because I was changed through the witness of Jesus transfigured, risen, and alive in one humble testimony of life and faith. When we show our true selves to one another, however this happens, we find Christ is there, and we reveal the risen Christ within us, shining through us. In the gospel story today, after they come down the mountain, Jesus orders the disciples not to tell anyone what they had seen until he is risen from the dead. That is, not until the Easter moment, the resurrection, the risen life of Christ, which is, of course, a whole new reality when all things are being made new in us, through us, with us. Jesus and the transfiguration are part of the resurrection Christ and the foreshadowing of it. And so today, this last Sunday of Epiphany, on the edge of the season of Lent, we are remembering the brilliance on a mountaintop through and around Jesus, and that we are becoming Easter people, which is much bigger, always much bigger than we can possibly imagine or contain, no matter how many times we celebrate Easter and remember our Easter traditions. It is way beyond anything we can imagine, and it is real. No matter what lies ahead, or how difficult this life is, or how traumatic this world around us may seem, we are opening ourselves to a whole new reality that is always there, always holding us up, and always breaking in. The Christ moment pushing through the ordinary, what we think is ordinary, the mundane in every little moment of our existence. And so in our own journey through the church calendar, before we encounter the risen life of Christ in Easter, we need, because this is so big, we need a moment, we need a season, the season of Lent, to really go deeply, and every time more deeply. Because the transfiguration, no matter how mysterious and unreal and extraordinary and beyond our comprehension it is a glimpse of what we are becoming all together through Christ transfigured. We are beholding what we are and what we are together through Jesus. Lent is a tender time of encounter with ourselves, our true selves. The ones raised to new life in Christ, the ones that have been known and named by God from before our own understanding of time. It is a great invitation. And it gives us the power and the knowledge and the confidence to dwell in the ambiguity, the mystery, the waiting, the uncertainty, the unknown, because we have found ourselves beloved and called. And so let us take a deep breath and pause and let the radiance break into the ordinary and the everyday, the unexpected and the scheduled parts of our lives, into a breath of air. The gift of life in a breath of air that gives voice to who we are and who we are becoming together. Discovering the radiant, eternal love of Jesus the Christ, the Holy One, the Messiah, living and breathing within us and all of us together. Amen.